Thanks for listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Zingari, and I just want you to know that we've edited this podcast for brevity, so you hear all the good stuff quicker. Thanks for listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Zingari in for Jane Lindholm. Today, we're going to talk about gratefulness a lot and asking you what you're grateful for. So I'll get us started. I'm not wealthy, far from it, but I'm grateful that I want for very little. I have warmth, loving people around me, and the opportunity to find quiet and stillness in my life when I need it. And this year in particular, I'm grateful that I was able to attend my 40th class reunion back in my hometown of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I got to hear contentment in the voices of my classmates as they described their lives. I was grateful to share time with many of them, like Kazmir Matuszynski, Sean McCauley, Paul Sharon, Ann Camarda, Linda Trapp, Joe and Lisa Mixon, Brian Geringer, and so many others. And I'm grateful to wake up every morning in this state where I can sustain myself with such wonderful food and drink grown, raised, and created by so many hardworking individuals. Joining me to discuss thanks and gratefulness is Reverend Mara Dowdle, the senior minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Burlington, and Randall Balmer, a professor of religion at Dartmouth College and an Episcopal priest in Norwich. Welcome to you both.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Mara, you're first. What are you grateful for?
Well, that list was quite inspiring, Rick, that you just gave us. On any given day, I feel grateful for my family, my little kiddos, and my loving spouse, and the congregation I serve. Today, I'm feeling grateful to be at the VPR studios and getting to actually meet some people I only get to hear on the radio. So this is pretty cool as well.
And Randall, what are you giving thanks for?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. The health, of course, is at the top of the list. And at the same time, I have to express my sympathy for those whose health is not as good as I enjoy. I have a wonderful wife, extraordinary woman, who is my best friend, family, two sons and a daughter. And I'll echo you, Rick, in saying I live in Vermont, and I can't imagine a better place.
Well, Randall, what are tips to creating a path to a happy and more grateful life?
That's a great question. I'll begin with the observation that Thanksgiving, the idea of the giving, the last part of that that compound word is a participle, which suggests an ongoing process of being thankful. I think we need to work on being thankful more than once a year, and see this as a kind of disposition. And I'll even go back to Aristotle, if you'll.
You're allowed.
You'll pardon a kind of pointy-headed reference here. I'm not that kind of guy, but just for the moment. Aristotle believed in something he called the Nicomachean ethics. That is, we can cultivate within ourselves virtues, and that is an important process, an important dimension of being human. So I'd like to commend to our listeners, as well as to myself, the discipline of being thankful and developing that as a disposition toward life in a continuing way.
Mara, what is the difference between simple appreciation and true gratefulness?
Well, I think in some ways that's really a continuum. I think, as Randall was saying, gratitude, real deep and true gratitude, a deep disposition that we live with every day, can start with simple appreciations. So if I feel appreciative for someone who brought me a cup of coffee in the morning, that can be a way to kind of enter into a deeper sense of gratitude for all those big things, like being alive, being healthy, as Randall said, getting to live in our beautiful state of Vermont.
We heard from Megan, who emailed us and said, "Often, to the chagrin of my friends and family, I ask everyone at the end of the day, what's the best part of their day? This has been a years-long tradition. I think it's nice to stop and take a moment to feel grateful every single day." And here's a favorite quote from the 13th century Persian poet Rumi: "Wear gratitude like a cloak, and it will feed every corner of your life." Well, Randall Balmer, Are there character traits or attitudes that can cultivate gratefulness or at least make one more mindful of gratefulness?
Well, I don't have any magic formula, but it seems to me that you do cultivate that by doing it. that is, you become grateful by being grateful. Pardon me.
Pardon me.
This is a way of kind of strengthening that emotional muscle or mental discipline in order to become more grateful. And I think one of the ways we do this, of course, is to consider our plight as juxtaposed with others who are less fortunate. And that is often an occasion, I think, to make oneself more grateful.
So Mara Dowdle, how do we go about expressing gratefulness?
I think that gratefulness is something that we need to, first of all, be able to slow down to really experience. I think sometimes we're so busy in our lives and we're rushing around from one thing to the other. And we can't get to expressing our gratitude if we're not first having a moment to pause and feel it ourselves. So I think taking a breath and slowing down is something that's really important. And then I think we need to sometimes find the courage to say thank you to others. I think there can be a vulnerability sometimes in really expressing to another person how grateful we are, how much their presence in our lives means to us. And yet it can be a great gift to both of us to share that among each other. So I think sometimes it takes courage, paradoxically, to express that gratitude.
Well, to that end, we heard from Mary Hamilton, who is with the Vermont Common School, emailed us to say, "We bring the entire school community together every morning. It gives us a moment to slow down during a busy academic and social period and reflect on how very lucky we are to live where we do." Mm. So, Randall, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. So how do we work that into the festivities of having friends and family together? How do we make it just kind of a very special but simple act to express thanks tomorrow?
I think a lot of people at Thanksgiving take a moment, at least I hope they do, as we do in our household, take a moment simply to reflect on what we're grateful for, and that's certainly a good thing. But I think the way we treat others suggests a disposition of gratitude. And I'd like to add that humility, I think, is awfully important. Humility is not in huge supply in their culture these days, it seems to me. But when you try to exercise humility, and I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm not trying to pretend that I'm a paragon of anything here. But when you treat others with humility, what that reminds us is that we are dependent upon others. We are part of communities, and we are interdependent. And if you treat someone else with humility, I think it fosters this notion of gratitude.
Well, Randall Balmer, how does expressing gratefulness or gratitude actually benefit a person? Or does it?
Well, I think there have been studies. I'm no expert on this, but there have been studies indicating that it's healthy mentally, physiologically, and in every other way to have a generally positive attitude. And both Mara and I are ordained ministers, so if you'll permit me, I'll quote briefly from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. "Do not worry about anything," he says, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And I think that's not bad advice.
Mara Dowdle, how can we move beyond, okay, we've got the idea of thoughts of gratitude and becoming grateful, into actual actions, behaviors? I mean, concrete actions or involvement. How do we do that?
Well, I think it's come up in a few different ways in our conversation so far, but I think the idea of gratitude as a practice, like it's not just something we feel, but it's something we live out. And Randall was referring to that, the giving part of Thanksgiving. I think gratitude, how we actually act it out, is in the way it inspires us to give generously to other people. To act with compassion and love. I think when I am feeling grateful, I can be inspired to share with other people some of that feeling, to kind of give them some of what it is that has made me grateful. But it takes practice. It's not something we can get a little rusty with that, I think. Randall, would you say that as well?
I think so.
I think part of the reason I am in the line of work I am is that I think we need containers, places, communities that help us do this. So certainly I think living gratitude is something we can do as individuals, but it can help to have a group of people that help keep us accountable, that a place we can come on a weekly basis that inspires us to feel that sense of gratitude. So
go ahead, Randall.
I'll add to that I think that the culture of narcissism, which is all around us.
Oh, amen.
The culture of narcissism, which turns inward, is utterly opposed, diametrically opposed to a culture of thanksgiving. And if we can somehow move beyond ourselves and see others, treat them with humility and treat them as other beings, and as Mara said, within the context of a community, then I think we're closer to a culture of thanksgiving.
We heard from Justine, who tweeted, "I am grateful for having two wonderful folks who hosted me in 2013 in Vermont, the best 180 days of my life. Sadly, one of them has now passed, but I'm thankful for the days spent in Vermont." Mm-hmm. And let's hear from Don, who's calling from Mount Holly. Don, thanks for calling Vermont Edition. Go right ahead.
My gratitude is being a 22-year cancer survivor. In addition to that, I have the opportunity to work each week with folks who have received the gift of desperation, in a sense. They are willing to turn their lives around. That's an incredibly rewarding experience. And very recently, I got involved with Habitat for Humanity because I am a general contractor, and that is just an incredibly amazing program where we can give back.
Wow. Don, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. We're hearing from so many people who are grateful and have reasons to be grateful. Randall, what do you say to those who aren't feeling grateful or just feel obligated to feel so?
Well, I guess I would invite them to look at the world a little bit differently and to develop this discipline of gratitude and thanksgiving and to see what difference it makes. I don't put a lot of stock in all of the rah-rah prosperity preachers and that sort of thing. But I do think they have a point in the sense that they understand the importance of disposition and having a good attitude. And it kind of radiates throughout one's entire life. And Thanksgiving, I think, is part of that.
I agree, Randall. I think sometimes we can work on that shift. I've also found it helpful sometimes to just make space to name alongside our gratitude what it is we're not grateful for. I think sometimes if we're feeling forced to be grateful, we can feel like the hard parts of our lives or what it is that's causing us pain or grief or suffering, that's somehow not seen. So I actually think that part of a healthy gratitude practice is also acknowledging what are the things are in our lives that are maybe not bringing us gratitude, which doesn't mean we aren't grateful for the gifts we have, but I think that realness can actually deepen our sense of gratitude overall.
Okay, well then, Mara, how do we learn to be grateful for what we have rather than what we desire or don't have?
Especially in a culture that is always telling us we don't have enough.
Right.
We need more. I don't know. I mean, that's something that I struggle with myself. I'm constantly saying, okay, this is enough. This is enough. I think when we're constantly swimming in the waters of a world that says you need X to be happy or you need Y to be successful, it can be hard to just, again, pause and say, wow, I have already so much that is valuable and worthy in my life. And for me, I think it comes back to that slowing down. I think when we slow down and take stock of those very precious things we have in our lives and what really matters, that can help us shut out some of those other voices that are saying, you need more.
Well, Randall, you're not off the hook. I want your answer to that question.
Oh, good.
Oh, no, I think contentment is a wonderful thing, and would that we were all a bit more content. And I think it's Mara's exactly right. It's doubly difficult in a culture that has commodified everything and screams at us to be more and more acquisitive. Of course, the false promise in all of that is mm-hmm. that if you only have X automobile, if only you can have the newest iPhone or whatever it might be, then you're going to be happy. And we're entering a season now, we've already entered the season, where commercials and advertisements are screaming at us about how we can be happy if only we acquire more things.
Marcia in Bradford emailed us this. I'm thankful for all the opportunities I have to help someone else. I'm not talking about making donation pledges to faceless national charities. I mean seeing a friend's Facebook post asking for a helping hand at the food shelf. It's something I can do, not just to help my friend, but to come face to face with those we are helping and to enjoy being in their company. I see these opportunities as an important way to pay forward all the help I have and continue to receive. Mm. It's a day to reflect on what you're thankful for. Our guests today are Randall Balmer, a professor of religion at Dartmouth College, and Reverend Mara Dowdle, the senior minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Burlington. Allow me to share a few notes of gratefulness from VPR employees. Will Pearson, a corporate support associate, says, for years, I had to travel by bus for Thanksgiving. Now I'm very grateful for having family and friends near enough that I stay close to home. I express my gratitude by showing up on time with what I'm asked to bring and leaving early. And Anna St. Marie, VPR's Audience Services Associate and Vermont Edition co-producer, says, I have a huge family, usually 40 or more people at each of our holiday gatherings. My superhero of a grandmother used to host and prepare all of the food herself, but about 5 years ago, it all became too much for her to manage on her own. Now we all chip in. One aunt brings potatoes, one brings squash, cousins bring appetizers, and so on. This helped, but we still found the majority of our time together was spent cleaning up and washing dishes. So for the past 2 years, now we've had a disposables-only policy for containers, plates, and utensils. It's definitely not an environmentally sustainable approach, but it certainly sustains our sanity and gives us time to actually enjoy each other's company. I'm Rick Singeri, and this is Vermont Edition. If you're fortunate enough, tomorrow you will be with family and or friends to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. If you're Canadian, you've already celebrated this holiday in early October. So we're taking this opportunity to discuss gratefulness and share what it is that we're giving thanks for this year. Joining me are Reverend Mara Dowdle, the senior minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Burlington, and Randall Balmer, a professor of religion at Dartmouth College and an Episcopal priest in Norwich. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211, or you can post your thanks on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Now, I want to bring another voice into the conversation for a little bit. Chef Lyndon Verkler is a chef instructor at the New England Culinary Institute in Montpelier. Chef Verkler, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So right off the bat, I want to know what you're thankful for.
Well, I'm of course, I'm thankful to have family around me on this holiday. My daughters and our grandkids are coming, and I'm very thankful for all the great farmers and food producers in Vermont that are contributing so much of this all year, but especially this time of year, it's a good opportunity to celebrate them. And then I'm also thankful for a number of organizations that support that. First my colleagues at New England Culinary Institute, but also organizations like the Northeast Organic Farmers Association and the Vermont Fresh Network, which seeks to connect farmers and chefs together, and things like Vermont Feed and their farm-to-school programs.
Well, Chef, how can we show our gratefulness for those who come to dinner tomorrow but who have food allergies or are vegetarian or vegan?
I think it's really, and it's interesting because I've got a grandson with an egg allergy, used to have a nut allergy, and my daughter was a vegan for 5 years. So I think the big thing is to be as inclusive as possible. And what, you know, what we usually do is, you know, maybe the vegan dish becomes a side dish for everybody else, but it's the centerpiece of the vegan or the vegetarian's dinner. And I think it just adds more variety to the table to have a few different offerings, and you know, to make sure that we're inclusive and not dismissive of people's choices. Sometimes there's arguments about vegetarian versus turkey and things like that, but I think if we're inclusive of everybody, it just adds to the pleasure at the table.
Is there a way to express gratefulness with the food purchases we make?
Absolutely. I think that you know, I'm co-author of the Farm to Table book, which is a sustainable guide to food systems, and we talk a lot about the importance of purchasing locally when you can. It's not always an all or nothing thing. You know, maybe your turkey is local, or maybe some of your side dishes are. But I think that when we support our local farmers and food producers, we're, you know, supporting their work and the environment, and we're also helping the economy by, you know, what we call the multiplier effect, where the dollars we spend locally go, you know, 2 to 3 times around the economy rather than going far away.
Now, I'm a leftovers guy 365 days a year. I can eat leftovers all the time. How does using leftovers tie into being grateful?
Absolutely. You know, when someone has gone to all the effort to make this great food, whether it be a turkey or a chicken or some other animal or the vegetables, we want to honor them by utilizing every bit of that. So trying to utilize things so that they're not wasted, especially when we think about something like 40% of food in America is wasted, which is really a tragedy. So I think the more that we can kind of repurpose the leftovers and be creative, that's a way of honoring the food producers that have provided us that food.
And I have to know, what's on your table tomorrow? What are you going to be making for Thanksgiving?
Well, we've got a really nice local turkey that one of my colleagues who has a farm stand up in Lindenville raised. And we've got some, for the first time, we have some salmon squash from the Tunbridge Hill Farm, which is a beautiful salmon-colored squash. And we have our traditional favorites like cranberry relish that my daughter always makes. And we'll do some kind of a stuffing that we'll cook outside of the turkey because that's safer than inside the turkey. And, of course, mashed potatoes with potatoes from our garden and lots of good gravy.
Mm. Well, I'm hungry for the salmon squash. Boy, that sounds fabulous. Chef Lyndon Verkler is a chef instructor at the New England Culinary Institute in Montpelier, also the co-author of Farm to Table, The Essential Guide to Sustainable Food Systems. Chef Verkler, thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
And we're still speaking with Reverend Mara Dowdle and Randall Balmer about gratitude. But let's hear from Keith first. He's calling from Moortown. Keith, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having my call. I just my own personal take is maybe a little bit different. I kind of ended up spending it reflecting alone and feeling a little bit guilty about the gluttony and bounty of it all. And, of course, the revisionist twist on the Native Americans, the original Thanksgivings and all that stuff. But, I mean, I do have wonderful memories of all my relatives and having to eat the yams in order to get the marshmallows and raisins on top of the food at my aunts and stuff. But I just think that it's also a time for just reflecting about, you know, not without being hypocritic. I mean, I could be going to the food shelf and helping people, but just, and not, as you mentioned earlier, about being narcissistically alone, but alone by choice, and thanking, you know, all that came before, but yep, but not in the commercial, crass way.
Keith, thank you so much for that call. So, Mara Dowdle, how do we feel gratefulness without feeling selfish, knowing so many others are not nearly as lucky as we are in the United States or here in Vermont?
I've actually been thinking about this question, and it reminded me of a great poem from the late amazing Vermont poet David Budbill. It's his poem called Sometimes. And in this poem, he's reflecting on this amazing day or a series of day with a blue Vermont sky and getting to make food from his garden. And then he talks about, in the midst of that, remembering the suffering and pain in the world and wrestling with how do you hold those things. And he ends up in this poem saying that he wants to still be in love with his life because he recognizes how sort of it could turn on a dime at any moment. And I really think there's some wisdom in there that gratitude doesn't mean that we're either flaunting what we have that others don't have, or that we're not mindful of the real suffering in our world, but that we can hold a sense of gratitude knowing that we are all living in this state of impermanence and on a fragile planet together.
Randall Balmer, when the news is bad, a natural disaster occurs, there's a mass shooting, or someone's personal adversity, how do you help people remain focused on being thankful?
I think it's very difficult. I think you have to try to be as empathetic as possible and listen to people. And I think that's generally good advice, and advice that is too often ignored these days. Listening to people, as you say, in their sadness and sorrow and grief, but also more generally listening to people. And tomorrow provides a good occasion. Listening to people at the Thanksgiving table, people who may not agree with you about everything, but giving them a chance to talk and listening to them, honoring their feelings. I think that's one approach.
We heard from Edward. He called in to leave this message. He said, "I'm thankful for sunshine. Everyone gets it for free." Mm. And Sarah emailed, "This is a quote that I try to be mindful of throughout the year. Hem your blessings with thankfulness so that they do not become unraveled." Mm-hmm. And let's hear from Xenia, who's calling from Barrie. Hi, Xenia. Tell us what you're thankful for.
I am grateful for two things right now, one of which is personal and one of which is global. Starting with the global one, today's news that the butcher of Srebrenica, former Yugoslavia, was convicted of genocide and ethnic cleansing and crimes against humanity. All the men and boys were taken out of the city of Srebrenica and shot down in cold blood. And this Serbian leader, Ratko Mladenovic, was just convicted. And I'm happy to see any small amount of recognition that genocide is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal level, I'm very grateful for my two cats. My girl cat is Nefertiti. My boy cat is Almost. And they're wonderful. They're also my service cats to help with symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, they sound wonderful.
They are just wonderful, wonderful cats.
Xenia, thank you so much for your call. And let's hear from Judith, who's calling us from Brattleboro. Judith, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, cool. When I graduated from college, I was an atheist on a good day, on a bad day, and an agnostic on a good day. And I went to a prayer meeting to meet white people because I was working in the black community. And the priest said, let's be thankful for whatever you're grateful for. And I was completely out of touch with gratitude. I hadn't thought about it in years, and the war in Vietnam was going on, and I was angry. I was not grateful. But out of my mouth popped, "Thank you, God, for my life and my family." And I had one of those experiences like St. Paul being knocked off his horse of God just loving me. So for me, gratitude is the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Wow, Judith, thanks so much for sharing that story. It's very powerful. Mara Dowdle, what kind of conversations do you have with your congregation around gratefulness at this time of year? As a matter of fact, I think you're working on a sermon right now. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. And I feel like I'm soaking in all the great sharing that's happening on the show today for the sermon. Well, I think there are a number of different conversations. One that I think I actually have with people is that Thanksgiving in some some ways can be hard. I mean, Keith referred to some of the complex history of this holiday for one, but I think for people who are in a place of struggle with their family or feeling alone, it can be hard to arrive at a holiday where there's this sense of, oh, we're with family and everything is wonderful and it's beautiful. So one of the conversations I have with people in my community is about being real and being wherever we are and knowing that everyone's life is complex and is not out of a Hallmark card. So perhaps that's not the most festive thought for the week, but one I think can help us all meet the holiday where we are.
And Randall, how does gratitude affect our personal relationships, our personal happiness, even our health?
Well, I don't know the specifics of it, but it's my instinct says that it does, that a sunnier outlook toward life makes things go better. And before I complete my thought, I want to express my appreciation to the chef for being tolerant of vegetarians. I deeply and personally appreciate that, especially at Thanksgiving.
Well, how do we instill gratitude in our children, Mara?
Well, this is something I think about with a 5.5-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. I actually think sometimes they are better teachers of gratitude than I am to them. But one thing I think we can do is just make a space for gratitude in our daily lives. You were quoting one of the callers or someone tweeted about making everyone in the family say something they're thankful for at mm-hmm. the end of the day. And I think we can model it for our kids by showing thanks to other people. So I think our kids are watching, which is something I think about a lot in our world right now. And if as adults we take time to express deep gratitude for what we have, for others in our lives, I think that's one way we can start to cultivate gratitude in our children.
We heard from Katie in Irisburg who emailed, "I broke my foot in early October while starting our barn building project on our new farm. With winter approaching and 50% of the farm staff, basically me, out of commission, we were anxious to get the project done and let me heal. I am grateful for all the friends and neighbors who helped with our barn project, our animals, bringing groceries, and just keeping me entertained while my foot healed. I'm also grateful for the kind spirits of all of the strangers who held doors while I crutched my way into a store." So let's start with you, Randall. How can gratitude help a community?
Oh, my. That's a great question. I think a disposition of gratitude makes us less likely to go after one another in a mean or vindictive way. And again, we're not seeing much adult behavior from Washington these days. But if we can do this at a local level, listen to one another, be grateful for one another, treat one another as equals, as important, as if you want a religious gloss, as people of God, children of God. I can't help but believe that wouldn't redound positively within the community.
Mara, you've been in Vermont for almost a decade now. So how grateful are Vermonters?
I think we are grateful humans here in the state of Vermont. I think there's a real sense of community here that I've experienced that I think is profoundly connected to gratitude. And I think living as we do in the presence of real beauty is something that also inspires our gratitude.
Reverend Mara Dowdle is the senior minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Burlington. And Randall Balmer is a professor of religion at Dartmouth College and an Episcopal priest in Norwich. I want to thank you both for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Rick. It's been great.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll celebrate the 30th anniversary of A Hymn to New England by John Williams. This is Vermont Edition. Okay, I shared my thanks and I read a few other VPR employees' thoughts of gratitude earlier in the program. I'm joined now by Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and we'll read a few more that we received from our coworkers.
I'll take it off, Rick. It's Todd Mallory, the IT specialist at VPR, wrote, "As I glide towards my 50s, I find myself caring less and less about the possible repercussions of telling someone I appreciate them, even when it's one of my guy friends. I recall two instances in the last couple of weeks that I ended our evenings or conversations with, 'Just so you know, I really appreciate our friendship.' As a guy, this sort of thing can be difficult after a lifetime of trying to be, quote, traditionally manly. My wife and I and our 9-year-old son do our family meetings once a week where we go over the week ahead, challenges, etc. The 15-minute meeting starts with appreciations. Everybody has one for everyone else. It's our way of trying to bring gratefulness more into the forefront of our lives."
Mary Williams, VPR producer and announcer, shared this. "I'm going on 20 years of following a vegan diet. So for me, the last two decades of Thanksgiving meals have been about creating new food traditions. I'm immensely grateful that in my little family, the menu includes homemade tofurkey, plus any and all root vegetables roasted till crisp and savory sweet. Add in some vegan coffee cake, and it's just as revered and looked forward to as a traditional turkey. And it makes it clear that the real holiday lies in the act of preparing, serving, and sharing dishes made with love and good intention."
Haley Labonte-Davy, VPR's corporate support associate, says, "I'm thankful for the furry friends in my life. I have a dog and a cat who always brighten my day and are the best stress relievers I know. I always make a donation to an animal rescue or shelter around the holidays as a way to express my gratitude and to help other pets find their forever families."
Robert Resnick, host of VPR's All the Traditions, wrote, "So many things to be grateful for. Here are just a few big ones. One, the kindness that everyone at VPR showed me while I was struggling health-wise this summer. Two, the sheer pleasure of putting the show together and getting lots of good feedback from listeners. Three, the love of my family and friends. And four, music, music, music everywhere and every kind, and how much it makes all of our lives better. I'm also grateful for the mushed up sweet potatoes and pineapple that my mom melted baby marshmallows over in the oven as a feature of every family Thanksgiving that I can remember."
And VPR News Director John Dillon wrote, "I am thankful for my 91-year-old mother is with us and sound of mind and body. Thankful that my kids are happy. And as someone once said, you're only as happy as your least happy child." And he says, "I'm thankful for living where I live because even my interstate commute gives me a gorgeous view of Camel's Hump."
And Matt Smith, what are you grateful for?
"I am thankful for all my wonderful colleagues at VPR who have made me, a new producer here, feel very welcome, and for Turkey, Turkey, Turkey."
And listeners, we are grateful for your kindness and insight and for allowing us to be a part of your daily lives. So thank you.